创意。I liked the little hum of there, too.
Oh, I didn't know that was coming.
Welcome, podcast listeners. You are listening to the War on Pop Culture podcast. I am your co-host, Robert Ang.
And I am your co-host, Michael Vivenzio.
And we got a great... Oh, what was that?
I'm ready to wage war. I'll just say that. After that striptease...
Why are we waging war after that?
I don't know.
That tune apparently was called Striptease from Michael's Buttons of Fun.
I'm ready to get dirty.
We have a great episode for you. This is part one on episode number 3, War on Pop Culture Podcast. Mike, what's on the agenda today?
We're going to be doing a little back-to-school special.
Right, because it's September.
And that's
people
kind
of go back to school during September.
Yeah, well, not us, but you know, other people. Kids.
Maybe kids.
Maybe kids.
If they feel like
the good kids.
The good kids.
Not the bad kids.
The bad kids go back to school, too.
No. Yeah, they're just not happy about it. But they're there, I guess.
They're there. And it's also autumn.
And it's actually, tomorrow's the first day of fall.
Right, but if you're listening to it, it will be yesterday.
That's true.
You had to think about that.
I did.
Real quick.
Too long, I think.
A little bit too long. You came in this month like, wait.
Huh?
Wait.
That's true, yes. Yesterday was the first day of fall. First day of fall.
Mike is 2 sips into a beer and he's already,
yeah, already
fumbling.
I'm already fumbling over my
head. All right, but yes, we have a back to school special where we're going to break down some genres or movies, kind of link them into school subjects, and then give each other a grade for our semester of movies that we chose.
Yeah, our lifetime semester of movies.
I guess that's what we're doing.
This is what we're doing this episode, right?
It sounded like a great idea. I hope it is a great idea.
It was a great idea when I was in this meeting at my job yesterday, and it's still a great idea.
I think it's a great idea. But first, let's just talk about the Emmys a little bit.
Do a little recap.
Last week, or not, 2 weeks ago, we talked a lot extensively about the Emmys, and we watched it. Did you watch it?
I saw parts here and there.
You saw the good parts, probably.
I did see the good parts.
So let's just recap this real quickly, since we spent a lot of time last episode talking about it. Mike, just initial reactions?
I'm going to say this. Best drama, called it. And I think a lot of it had to do with my 5 solid points that I brought up.
So many solid points.
In the last podcast.
We might have to revisit those points, because I forgot what your points were.
I don't think we need to. I don't think the listeners need a recap. They got it. They know.
They can go back and listen to it.
They can go back. You can review it.
But yes, the Game of Thrones. Is it called
The Game of Thrones.
The best drama series, beating out Mad Men's final season.
And I'll be honest, I was shocked. I mean, I even said it in the podcast a few weeks ago. I wanted it to win, but I did not think it had any chance of beating Mad Men. And there it goes.
They were definitely the two-headed dragon going into the awards.
Like dragon.
Exactly.
About Game of Thrones.
And honestly, watching the telecast, the momentum was all with Game of Thrones. I wasn't surprised when they did announce it.
It was clear it was the one true king.
Exactly. Did you like the Andy Samberg? Did you see the skit with the writer?
I did not.
Oh, okay. That was pretty funny. He kind of just like, he's like, oh yeah, I just talked to him. And Jon Snow's alive. That's what he just told me. He's just like, just yelling it out. It was pretty funny. But yeah, Game of Thrones won. Mad Men didn't really win anything, but Jon Hamm finally won. I think they said it was his 16th nomination in general, but like 6 of them were for Mad Men, and it's the only one he's won. So
what else was Jon Hamm nominated for?
He was in a lot of cameos in 30 Rock and stuff like that, I think.
Okay.
Type of thing. I'm not really sure what else Jon Hamm is in, but he seems to be in a lot of things.
Well, good for Jon Hamm.
Good for Jon Hamm.
Congrats, Hamm.
In general, though, the Emmys...
Excuse that. Sexy and I
know it. That's Jon Hamm.
That's Jon Hamm button.
The Emmys... I keep on going back to it every single year, because, you know, you and I, we love awards shows.
Yes.
And I'll watch the Emmys every single year, and then I'll remind myself why I hate watching the Emmys every single year, because they absolutely suck. I think the Emmys are terrible to watch.
I was at a wedding, so I missed the Emmys this year, but yeah, I agree. In the past, the Emmys are, they're a toilet paper award show.
It's bad, because one-third of the show giving out the awards is, the categories are TV movies and miniseries that no one has ever watched.
No one's seen any of them.
Then there's new categories for reality shows,
I don't watch at least.
Why are they? Yeah, it's like,
why are we awarding reality?
Literally,
TV shows?
A third they are of this horrible. Telecast is just something that no one's watched. And people complain about the Oscars giving awards for movies that they've never watched. This is even worse. This is terrible. I mean, to be fair, I actually watched Olive Kitteridge that won all the awards.
Oh, you saw that? Okay, saw all Olive right.
Kitteridge. Yeah, it dominated the.
How was that?
It's probably one of the most depressing miniseries you'll ever watch.
Award shows love depression, though. They love it.
There's something about those Academy members that just.
They're sad.
They're just like, I want to be sad. I want to watch something that just makes me sad.
Let's watch Kitteridge.
Olive Kitteridge was so depressing, man. I can't even tell you a happy moment in that entire 4 hours.
Not a single happy moment in 4 hours? When it ended.
Maybe.
I no longer have to be sad.
It was just like, the main Olive was just a miserable old lady who made her husband miserable, and the family made their son miserable. And then they were just miserable.
That sounds like award show heaven, though.
That's all, yeah, definitely. That without a doubt. Award it was show just, like, gold.
So you're saying too many awards.
Oh, like,
there's
for
too
the
many
Emmys?
Categories, too many awards.
Oh, easily.
They could probably take something from our last podcast with the VMAs. We said there were zero awards, all performances.
If they kind of mesh it together and
have
find
them act out scenes live on stage.
What?
Prove, because there were so many performances in the VMAs. I know. That
I was
a stretch.
I was confused. I'm like, this isn't the Tonys, Mike. Why would you do
a merger?
So you missed all of Andy Samberg's monologue. And
I missed it. I missed a lot of it.
It was
at a wedding.
You know, he's
I'm
just
not the biggest Samberg fan.
He's
to
just
begin with.
A likable goofball, kind of. Anyway, but you don't watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine yet, right?
And you've been telling me, a lot of people tell me I would love it. Yeah. It's on my to-do list. I gotta check out Brooklyn.
You can bang that out in like a week easily, the first two seasons. So I highly recommend it. Anything else we have to talk about the Emmys?
Well, best comedy. We also had that
best
debate.
Best comedy, yes.
Your show won.
Nope.
Didn't it? What won best comedy? Oh, Veep. Veep! Oh, sorry.
To be fair, I go to Mike. This comedy is going to be between Veep and Transparent. You take Veep. I'll take Transparent.
And then I said, nay, Silicon Valley.
You're like, no, I'll pass on the Veep. Yeah. I'll pass on the likable winner.
I passed on the winner. You know what? I'll stick with my pick. Silicon won my Emmy.
The Mike Emmy.
The Memmy.
So Veep won. Because throughout, like we said with Game of Thrones, it had momentum, so it wasn't really a surprise once the telecast was going on that they were going to win the best drama. But for a comedy, it was actually really interesting because Veep and Transparent were going back and forth winning awards. Like Julia Louis-Dreyfus won her for best actress,
and Tambor won
for actor. Writing and directing, I think, was like split. It was very, very interesting to see who was going to win that award. So Veep won. I was slightly surprised because I really thought all of my brilliant points that I gave last episode was going to be reasons why Transparent was going to win, but honestly, maybe just not enough people saw it in the Academy.
That could be it.
Because it's
mean,
Amazon. I mean,
not a lot of people watch that show, so that could be part of the reason why.
Like you know, a lot of people. How many people do you know has seen that show?
You
exactly.
I know you.
I'm the only one too that knows
I've seen that show. But you know, it's funny. Both major awards went to HBO shows, and we brought up the point last time that, you know, a lot of the network TV shows, they don't get the acclaim that they used to, and I mean, this proves it right there.
It really does.
HBO shows won
That's
the top prizes.
That's a very good point.
And all the acting categories for the most part.
It won a lot of them.
Yeah,
if not all. Well, John Hamm, yeah. It won a lot of them. Yeah, HBO just dominates award shows at the Emmys. They have to rename it to just the HBO Awards eventually, because they're going to win everything.
The Bows. Well, HBO.
The Hobos.
The Hobos.
The Hobos. All right. Anything else? I'm done with the Emmys.
I'm done with the Emmys.
I'm going to say I'm done with the Emmys forever until next year.
Until next year.
Then
I'm done with the Emmys for 2015.
Yes.
So no, I have nothing at least to really chime in on for the Emmys.
What I liked, one category that I really liked because it was interesting, was their variety show one. It was like the greatest like talk shows up against each other. It was like The Daily Show against Colbert's show, against Jimmy Fallon.
And Daily Show
against
won.
John Oliver. Like, those are great shows. Against David Letterman. Like, it was really cool. Yes, The Daily Show won. They usually do win the Emmys, though.
The last few years, though, Colbert won.
That's true. He was taking them.
Do you think they gave it to The Daily Show just because it was like... Even though both shows ended, actually, so...
Well, Daily Show is still going on, just with a different host.
But, I mean, the Jon Stewart era is over.
The Jon Stewart era.
Do you feel like they gave it... It was more of like a Lifetime Achievement Award type thing in that sense, between Colbert and Jon Stewart, and Jon Stewart won?
It's strange, because... It's not like, I mean, it was Jon Stewart's show, but it's not even like he was the one accepting any of the awards. You know? It's obviously more of a collective thing. But maybe, I don't know.
I still think John Oliver is the best out of all of them.
Oliver is still my favorite.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Daily Show's
not to knock any of them. I love all of them.
Right.
But,
where would John Oliver be without The Daily Show?
London.
Eating his bangers and mash.
Eating his bangers and mash.
All right, that's enough Emmys talk. Let's go to our school segment. School is back, folks.
Hear that bell? It's a long bell. Okay.
That bell used to give me nightmares. Ooh. It was like, oh, I'm late again.
Yeah, there I am, still at my locker.
Do you think schools still use that bell?
Yeah, schools still
do
use
they?
It.
Do they? Is that like a real bells. Thing?
Yeah.
That's strange. I don't know.
They definitely still use bells.
That's cool.
I'm confident in that.
Are you confident in
that? I'm confident in that.
Do they actually... I really want to know this now. Does anybody work in a...
When I go back to my job next week, I'll ask my students.
Okay.
Still use bells?
Yeah. Do you still use bells? Like, legit, like...
What's the deal with bells?
Chiming bells that just... It's just, like, terrible. It's a terrible noise to hear.
It's not a good one.
No.
It's like up there soothing. With, like, alarm clock and, you know...
Yeah.
Chalk. I mean,
nails on a chalkboard.
Or the sound of chalk.
Or just the sound of chalk.
Have you ever heard a piece of chalk?
Wait, but that's another... They don't use chalk anymore, too, right?
They don't use chalk.
It's kind of like whiteboards now.
It's just whiteboards. Because of chalk allergies.
Or laptops and iPads.
Or laptops and iPads.
Oh.
Chromebooks.
Technology at its finest. All right, so what are we exactly doing here, Mike?
So,
we have a couple... Let's say subjects. School subjects.
We have school subjects, and we took movies, and... It's already going to be a horrible description. So, we took the core subjects you would have in school, and we took our favorite movie that would be related to each subject.
I didn't really pick my favorite movie.
Rob couldn't pick his favorite movies, because what we agreed on was we would need to see, both of us would have needed to see
the movies.
We picked
movies that we could talk about. They
and,
might not be exactly our favorites, but we can have a good conversation about them.
And I didn't see a lot of Rob's first picks, so...
It was a
shame on me. Shame on me. I know.
And we did have foreign language as one.
Yeah. I really wanted to talk about City of God.
Until you tell me you've watched probably a total of 7 foreign movies.
But City of God is my favorite.
It's a great thing, but I knew that was going downhill. Okay, so what are our subjects? We have English, which is going to be the film adaptation of
a book.
So that makes sense.
We have math, which is really tough for us to pick films.
If you think about it, how many math movies can you come up with right now?
There's like
there's
five.
Not many. Five is a good number.
Yeah.
That's a high number. There was like two that I could think of. Then we're going to go with science in parentheses fiction to make sci-fi movies that. Topic. What else? We have history, which I wanted to say was just movies based on a true story or obviously like a historical type of film.
Yeah,
because yours is more history based than mine. Mine's more like based on true events.
Very true.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we threw in everyone's favorite gym, physical education. So basically,
a sports
movie. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And then overall. Just what school movie did
Favorite
we like?
Movie about being in school.
Being in school, or about school in some way. There are a lot of school movies.
There's a ton that
we should have split it up, like,
right now.
High school, college.
Elementary.
Preschool.
Wins that.
Kindergarten. Alright, so... Are we going to do this? Are we doing this?
Do we want to name each other's? Do we want to go subject by subject?
You really wanted to name each other's, but subject by subject kind of makes more sense.
Let's do subject by subject.
Okay, so which one do you want to start off with?
Let's start
I want to keep the school one last, because that's just the overall.
School one's going to be last.
Okay.
Let's start off with English class.
You sure you don't want to start off with gym? It's the same.
Think about it. First period gym is terrible. Then you're sweaty and gross the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah. I had one first period gym, and that was terrible.
It was bad. I
that
did, too.
Because we didn't have showers. Did we have showers?
We didn't have showers. Well, we did, but you went in that shower, yeah. You're like, what's all up
right.
with that kid?
What's going on with this weirdo taking a shower right now? Alright,
so we'll start with English.
Because English is a good first period subject to.
And this is actually Rob's favorite film of all time that he's going to be discussing, so I feel like it's a good one to start with.
You're putting me on blast right now.
You know, it's a good blast, though. It's a good movie.
It's a great blast. So my English pick is the one and the only Forrest Gump.
What?
Is that the one that you wanted to press?
I was waiting so long to press that.
I feel like you almost forgot to press it. Anyway, yes, Forrest Gump, great movie.
Great movie.
It's
my... I feel like it's the saddest movie that... It gets me. It always gets me.
It's a true emotional roller coaster. You're at the highest of highs at some moments.
And the lowest of lows.
Of lows.
It really...
And there's a lot in between, too.
Yeah.
And the movie's funny. It's sad. It's thrilling.
It's got some action.
There's a lot of action. There's just, like, it's just good-hearted. It's just great. It has everything. It might be one of the most complete movies I've ever seen in my life.
I can't debate that.
Can't debate it. And Forrest Gump, Tom Hanks, come on. Who doesn't like Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks is the man.
Who doesn't like Tom Hanks and Forrest Gump? Forrest Gump is easily one of my favorite movie, I should just say. And it's funny because in Ramapo, where I went to college, there was a Ramapo TV station for some reason. Don't ask me why.
I don't know. Why am I punched?
Why are you punching me right now?
I was trying to make it so it didn't shut up, but it didn't punch, but okay.
But there was a Ramapo TV station, and for some reason, there would never be anything on that TV station, so they would have a movie on loop. Forrest Gump was that movie for the first 2 years.
Years?
Years. There's, you can ask my roommate Kevin, we've watched Forrest Gump probably that first month of college a good 45 times within a month. Like, we would watch it, and then we would get to the end, and then just literally watch it kind of like rewind and play again. It was awesome. It was just great.
That's the opposite of a box of chocolates. Like, you know when you turn on that Rambo station,
we know what we're gonna get.
You're getting some gum.
And it's amazing. It's like, yeah, that's what you're gonna get. It's great. I don't know. Your thoughts on Forrest Gump?
I love Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump is the one of three movies that no matter what mood I'm in, I could be the happiest of happy. I could be riding a complete high when I see Tom Hanks at the end talking to Jenny's grave, I will bawl. I will guarantee
it
to make me cry.
It is literally impossible not to cry during that scene,
yeah,
unless you have no heart.
If you have no heart, then you're fine.
Right.
But it's the one of three, like I said, that will always make me cry.
That is, yeah. That's just tough right there.
And it's a great film. It's so many great acting performances. Gary Sinise
kills
so
it. Lieutenant Diane.
Obviously, Tom Hanks is
magic
great.
Magic legs.
Yeah, he's got magic legs. So it's a great movie. I can't say anything bad about Forrest.
I remember reading up on something. I don't know if a director said this or something like that. Was that like Thomas Hanks?
Thomas Hanks, formerly known as Thomas Hanks.
Tom Hanks's performance in Forrest Gump is just so extraordinary because there are a lot of movies. There are a lot of actors that give great performances in films, but you can kind of like you can. Most of the times, picture another actor doing a pretty good job at it too. And what this one director said, I forgot who it was. It was just like you literally cannot
picture
any actor in the entire world that could do a better job than what Tom Hanks did. And they would have done it differently, but anything different than how Tom Hanks portrayed Forrest Gump would be wrong. He did it 100% right, and there's no one else that could have done that performance. So, I agree with that, and that's what makes Forrest Gump Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump's Forrest Gump.
Mike, what's your pick? Should I say your pick? I forgot what your pick was. Actually, I just wrote down movies.
My pick. So we go from feel good roller coaster of Forrest Gump to just straight up depression with my pick. My favorite book to film is Fight Club.
It's but also my second favorite film of all time.
Second favorite film of all time.
Second favorite film. Fight Club. I love Fight Club. Love Fight Club. I also read the book. Love the book. For those of you who haven't seen it, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but, so I really can't say much about the ending.
You can spoil really it. Much. If you haven't seen it by
I mean,
this
it's
point.
been almost 20 years. You should really, I don't want to spoil most, it though, because I love
true.
It.
It has one of the most famous
endings
in all of cinema.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how good it is. It's really that good. And, I mean, Ed Norton,
Ed Norton, of course, kills it, but Brad Pitt as Tyler Durden, one of my, like, easily top five fictional characters of all time. I really can't say anything I dislike about the film. Obviously, I mean, it's my second favorite film. It's just a great movie. I mean, not unlike Forrest Gump, if you're sad, there's not going to be any emotional highs. Like, it's just really... It's a depressing film, I guess.
It is. It is pretty depressing. But it's still really, really neat and thrilling.
Yeah.
So I feel like we should be talking about why we picked this as our English category.
Well, only tell me solely about... because it was a book.
No, yeah, exactly. But tell me about your feelings from... Did you watch the movie first or did you read the book first?
Watch the movie first, you watched read the book second.
Okay, and your feelings towards both... mediums.
Loved the movie more after reading the book.
So you watched the movie, liked it a lot, read the book, liked the book, but you loved the movie more?
No, I appreciated the movie more. Because,
oh, okay.
I mean, again, like, I don't want to give anything away at the storyline. I know it's been a long time. I could spoil it, but there's some pieces in Fight Club where, you know, maybe just you get lost or just some things just don't make sense. And a lot of this is cleared up when you read the actual book.
Is it similar?
Oh, yeah, books yeah. No, it's them. Pretty much, it's by the book, yeah.
Cool, because Forrest Gump, the book is almost nothing like the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's insane how different it is.
He never went to Nob.
I think that was in it. But this is seriously something that I remember from the book, and I'm like, this is the same story? There's actually a scene in the book where Forrest Gump... like, I don't know, crashes his plane or something like that, or gets dropped off in, like, just this random island. And he finds out that this island is run by cannibals. And so he finds out that they want to kill him and eat him. So to save his own life, he ends up finding the leader, and he plays a game of chess against him. And if he wins, he's going to stay alive.
Listen, now... I've never gone through the DVD features of Forrest Gump, but if this is a deleted scene, we're stopping the podcast right now, and I'm watching this fucking chess game.
Like, in the book, honestly, Forrest Gump isn't as innocent as he is in the movie. He's kind of a douche, and a bit of a douche.
The innocence is what makes
exactly.
it, though. Yeah.
That's what makes the movie so much better.
Yeah.
I would say easily the movie is 100 times better than the book.
Okay.
Hands down.
I don't know. Cannibals and chess?
It's a different story, though. It's completely different. The ending's different, too. That's all I'll say.
Him and Jenny and Little Forrest just move to an island somewhere.
they become cannibals,
they go
actually.
Back, yes, and they just eat people.
They take control of that island. All right, let's move on. Our next subject will be... You want to do science? Science fiction?
Let's do science fiction.
Science fiction.
Because I feel like our reasons, at least my reason for liking this movie, is it's very simple.
All right, go ahead, Mike. You go first.
My favorite science fiction film of all time is Aliens, plural, the second one, not the first one.
The sequel.
And, again, it's just so badass. That movie is just awesome. Every time I watch it, I appreciate it more and more. Especially the last hour of it. It's just it's a complete thrill ride. I mean, you've seen Aliens.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. It is awesome. That's basically the only word you could say. It's an awesome
it's
movie.
It's awesome. It is just so awesome.
Is that another Fincher movie that you're just picking?
Alien 3 is Fincher.
Oh, Alien 3
is Fincher.
I get that mixed up.
No, Aliens is James Cameron.
That's right.
The first one's Ridley Scott. So, you know, the first one, it's very suspenseful. You don't even really see the alien through halfway
the
through.
The first one's cool. Really cool. It sets it up really, really cool. Well.
I love Alien. Yeah. But the second one's just like, okay, you know there's aliens. Let's just crank this up full throttle. We're going to arm everyone with Gatling guns and flamethrowers. And we're going to go to war with
Let's
these
aliens. Let's see who survives.
You know, exactly.
Like, no, and Aliens is awesome.
It's awesome. Awesome movie.
Awesome
Sigourney
movie.
Weaver as Ripley, she's so badass.
No, I like your pick, and it's just like a legit, like, awesome sci-fi movie, yeah. You know? And it's a movie that has tested time and still holds up very well.
I can show it to someone today, and they'd still think it was a pretty cool action film.
It's
I
a really good movie. Yeah, definitely. My pick was Inception, the Christopher Nolan sci-fi psychological thriller that I think is... It's one of the most entertaining movies I've ever seen.
I can't dispute
it's
that.
It's awesome.
It's great. Visually, it's unreal.
What? Special effects and visually, yeah, insane. The direction, great. Screenplay, I don't know what kind of imagination Chris Nolan has, but he's got to be some type of messed up to think about this. Like, this must have took years to, like, plan, because it blew my mind, and just to be the one to fabricate this out of nowhere... He's got a crazy mind.
I'm going to talk about Nolan.
He's got a crazy mind. Yeah, he's nuts.
This guy,
he's
everything nuts. He writes is nuts.
He's nuts. And one of the most fascinating things about Inception that I feel like gets overlooked sometimes is how impressive the editing is in this movie. If you think about it, this movie has three plot lines going on at the same exact time and to a point in other people's subconscious, the point where, like, 10 seconds of a van falling off a bridge is like an hour
in another one.
It was like 10 hours, and you never really get confused throughout the entire process where this is going on. The editing is just absolutely should get all the credit because of that.
And what best editing?
I hope so. I don't remember. I assume so. But
I'm gonna say it for the sake of the podcast. It did.
It did.
It won.
We'll look it up to see. We'll fact check this, but I hope it won because it blew my mind. And also had a really, really kind of neat ending that blew people's minds. It's like, oh my god, I have to rethink the entire movie.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
Actually, yeah.
Chris,
I
personally think that Chris Nolan just threw that in there just to screw with people's minds.
To mess with people.
Yeah, because everything made sense.
up until that yeah.
One point. And you're like, just like, well, that just threw everything.
Nolan!
I have to watch everything over now. I don't know what this means. But yeah, Inception is my pick for science fiction.
Moving on,
what's next? We got history. You want to do history next?
Let's do history.
History. Period 3 history?
Why not?
That's good.
Why not? I'm down.
All right, my pick for history. So, like we said earlier, history could either be like a historical film, historical drama, or something like that, or...
Something like loosely based on historical
A film based on a true story. So I picked Argo. Because Argo was a lot of fun.
Argo was.
And Argo, this is what really impressed me the most about Argo. I mean, for a movie to be based on a true story, and such a well-known story that you know the ending to...
I know where you're going with this.
You have to make a really damn good movie to even care about or feel suspense, even though you know what the ending is. You know what happens. Why should I care about what's going on in this movie? And yet, it was insanely action-packed and thrilling that I was just, like, holding my breath and with the most suspenseful scenes.
Argo is the... For a movie that I knew how it was going to end, I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. And I can't say that about any movie recently, at least. Or maybe like, ever. Honestly, if you really think about it, if you know the ending, like, you kind of just sit back
there
and you wait.
That's the biggest thing, because...
I kept waiting for them to be, like, a surprise ending. Like, you know what? We know how this ended in history, but fuck it. This is how we're doing it in Argo.
Flip it upside down. Yeah, and, like, to be true, yeah, there's a lot of historical inaccuracies, but it is a Hollywood film, and they ramped up the intensity. But, yeah, like Mike said, we knew the ending. It was still awesome,
yeah,
and it was still thrilling, and we were still sweating bullets while watching this film, and that just shows how good of a movie it was. It's interesting because I feel like the movie is this was one of my favorite movies of that year. I think it was 2012 or something like that. It's one of my favorite movies of that year.
Same.
And I tend to side towards movies with like a lot of character development. This movie had probably zero
character development.
It was insanely just plot driven. And it was probably one of the best plot-driven movies I've ever seen. So that's why that's my history pick. Michael, what's yours?
I'm going to go with, I feel like this is another very plot-driven movie, Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan.
I mean, he's just trying to save Private Ryan. That's all that's going on. Well, that and lots of blood and guts and, you
this
know,
movie,
World War II. That's a biggie.
This movie is just epic.
Yeah.
In every single sense of the word.
I mean, from the start of the movie, the first 20 minutes of the movie is just insane. It is insane when they're storming the beaches of Normandy on D-Day. It's crazy. It's a crazy film. There's so many actors in this movie.
Oh, so many.
Dude, Barry Pepper in Saving Private Ryan. He's my hero. I kind of wanted to go to the military for a second and be a sniper after seeing Barry Pepper and Saving Private Ryan. It's a great, great film. And again, it's our boy Tom Hanks, Sir Thomas Hanks.
Killed it again.
Kills it.
It was just a great film over, and it was just so interesting because it was about this unit that had to find Private Ryan
because
his brothers died in war, and they wanted to bring him back home and stuff like that. And, like, you don't even see him until half.
Until pretty much, no, the end. Like, towards the, I mean,
half, past, a little bit past
halfway.
Little
past halfway is when
right,
you see
the movie's
Matt
long
Damon.
As hell. So, yeah. I mean, so yeah, and you find out it's Matt Damon, which is hilarious.
Like, it's Matt Damon?
It's Matt Damon. He likes to do these
kind of like in Interstellar.
Interstellar.
Like, oh, it's
wait
Matt
a second,
Damon?
Matt Damon's in there.
What?
Why didn't you tell me this? yeah, but it's a really cool movie. It definitely dives into the trauma of, you know, the men and women that serve in, you know, for their country.
And it's so suspenseful. It is so, so suspenseful. The ending with the tanks.
Oh my God, that was awesome. That was a great, great scene. It was just, everything about the movie was incredible.
Yeah.
Should have won the Oscar, but whatever. We'll talk about that another time.
Shakespeare in Love.
Shakespeare in Love.
Shakespeare in Love.
Which honestly, go ahead.
I was just looking to refresh, but what can I do real quick for Shakespeare
honestly,
in Love?
Honestly, I hated Shakespeare in Love so long because it beat Saving Private Ryan. But have you seen Shakespeare in Love?
No.
It's a good movie, man. It's really good.
There's nothing about Shakespeare in Love that would make me want to see Shakespeare in Love.
It is complete.
Is it Joseph Fiennes?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Gwyneth Paltrow?
Paltrow, yep. Yeah. It's complete Oscar bait, but if you actually give it a fair chance, it's hard not to like the movie. The movie's really good. It should not have beaten Saving Private Ryan, but it is a really good movie.
All right.
Do you have a button for Shakespeare in Love?
This is what I think of you.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
all right, let's move on. You want to go to the math movie, or you want to skip that?
Let's do it. Let's do the math movie.
Like we said, I don't know if you thought about how many math movies you could think of during the time when we said it, there's really not many.
What was my math movie?
You didn't have one, remember?
That's right, I don't have a math movie.
There's so little that Mike couldn't even think of one.
The three top math films, I told Rob, it's got to be, you know, Beautiful Mind, Good Will Hunting, and maybe Pi, just because it deals directly with math.
Right. Moneyball was yours.
That's right. I knew I had one. Moneyball.
I forgot about
that. I like Moneyball because it's statistics.
Statistics. So we'll throw that in the math category. Go ahead, Moneyball.
I mean, Moneyball's just a great. I'm biased. I love baseball. Love baseball.
No, basically, he means he loves Brad Pitt because he picked Fight Club and Moneyball.
You know what? I do really love Brad Pitt. I have no shame in saying
Here comes the man crush.
I do have a man crush on Brad Pitt. I'll admit it. I don't care. He just so happens to pop up in like five times in my top 10 favorite films. It's coincidence. No, it's not. I love Brad Pitt.
It just happens.
But actually, my favorite person in that movie is Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill was the show stealer.
Was this
in that film.
The first movie when we're like, whoa, Jonah Hill can act.
Yeah, we're wow, like, Jonah
what,
Hill
what,
can
is
act.
Is this Jonah Hill? Is he actually acting right now? It was really cool. Yeah, Moneyball. I really
Moneyball's
liked
great.
Moneyball. It
great
was.
Film.
It really threw in that different perspective of a baseball, a sports movie in general, and threw in Billy Bean and his way of thinking, which was so unconventional at the time.
Exactly. Everyone
and
was just trying to sign.
He
big,
really did
big ball
have
players.
Something going on, and I love it. I love it though how it was just like, yeah, he had. Because like throughout the one theme of the movie is just like, can you really build a winning team based off of statistics and just like trying to figure out formulas and patterns.
And they did.
And you had the old school people, you know, the scouts. They're like, this is impossible. You gotta look at this guy. He's gonna get injured. And then Billy Beach is like, nope, just look at the stats. He gets on base. He gets this. He draws walks. That's, you need people on base to score. You know, that was pretty much it. And, yeah, it was really fascinating.
It was a great film.
It was a really good, smart
sports film.
It is. When you think of sports movies, you really just think of one type of movie. The underdog that triumphs at the end.
Yeah.
That's a sports movie.
And we will get to that.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. That's
coming
up. We're going
to get to that.
okay, so my math movie, it's one of my favorite movies of all time, even though Forrest Gump is my number one. It's Good Will Hunting. Good old Will Hunting. Matt Damon.
Yeah, Matt Damon.
But we did know he was going to be in this movie.
I didn't know.
You didn't?
I've never seen it. Which is crazy.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Well, to be fair, I saw it. This is how I saw Good Will Hunting. My dad had it playing upstairs in the living room as the Super Bowl was going on. The year of the Super Bowl, that year it came out.
Why was your dad, what?
It was just like in case you didn't want to watch the Super Bowl. It was a big family party. But no one watched Good Will Hunting, so my viewing of Good Will Hunting was when I went upstairs to grab, like, a sandwich, I'd be like, oh, Good Will Hunting's on. I'm going back to watch the Super Bowl now. And that was the only time Good Will Hunting, that was the only time I've seen any of it.
You have to watch Good Will Hunting.
I know I need to see Good Will Hunting.
It put Matt Damon and Ben Affleck on the map because they actually won for best screenplay that year of the Oscars, and that was the year of Titanic. And that was not the year of Titanic. I think Good Will Hunting would have won all the Oscars that year. It was that good of a movie. But you clearly saw that Matt Damon was a superior actor compared to Ben Affleck in the film.
I'm talking about your boy Ben,
okay?
Reindeer Games, your Ben?
Jersey Girl?
Ben?
Good Will Hunting, great movie. Lots of Matt Damon plays a brilliant lower-class kid from the streets of Boston. And
how about them apples?
How about them? Oh, so you know some lines.
I know about them apples.
And arguably, Robin Williams' best performance in his career. Definitely
Aladdin.
Best dramatic performance. I mean, I know you have a soft spot for Doubtfire.
And Aladdin.
And
Aladdin.
Voice acting counts, right?
Doubtfire is one of the other. It's one of the three that make me cry every time.
So stop, I keep on forgetting that about you.
Yep.
But yeah, Good Will Hunting, great movie. Moving on
sports? To sports.
It's physical education time. Time to get physical.
Let's get physical. I really wish I looked to see if that was a button.
There are literally hundreds of buttons on this. You're never going to find it.
That works, I guess, right? It's too long. Okay.
All right, this should be a little easy because we picked the same sports movie.
The same sports film.
Because it's that awesome of a sports film.
Batter up! Talk about a league of their own.
A league of their own. Another Tom Hanks special.
Tom Hanks again!
Sir Thomas Hanks.
Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan.
Jimmy Dugan. Oh, great, great movie. This movie actually... Like Forrest Gump has it all.
It does have it all.
It has everything. I laughed. I cried when Betty's husband passes away.
It's so sad.
Oh man, that is a tear jerking scene. Yeah, that's a sad scene. And then you have
Jimmy Dugan providing comedic relief the entire movie, pretty much. Great, great film. I used to have such a thing for Gina Davis.
Gina Davis
because of this film. But yeah, it's just a great feel-good movie. Again, and I'm a huge baseball fan, so it touches into the history of baseball.
I don't know if this is accurate, but I want to say it is. I think A League of Their Own is the highest grossing baseball film of all time.
Really?
We can fact-check that, along with the other thing we were supposed to fact-check. I forgot. Oh, did Inception win Best Editing?
Okay.
These are two things we have to fact-check. Maybe we'll say it in part two.
We will definitely say it in part two.
I want to say, if it's not first, it has to be second.
I feel like Moneyball, when it came out a few years ago, probably...
I don't know, man. Maybe.
Took the throne.
Maybe. But maybe before Moneyball was the highest.
Fair enough.
But, yeah, great movie. Sisterly love type of film. There actually was a women's baseball league.
There was.
Which blows my mind.
Before seeing this film, I had no idea. Granted, I think I was like five when this movie came
Why
out.
Why would we know or
but
care
you wouldn't
about that?
Know unless you saw A League of Their Own.
It's really fascinating.
Yeah.
And, overall, it's a good movie. It had had really cool, like, separate storylines that kind of, like, meshed into one with Jimmy Dugan's alcoholism and trying to get his life back together after winning the home run title. Drinking a Coke instead of a beer, and he's like, that's good. Taking the longest kiss of all time.
So many great quotes. Crying in baseball.
There is no crying in baseball.
I like the high ones.
Lay off the high ones.
I don't really think that's a great quote.
It could be.
And now it is.
We can make it a great quote.
I like the high ones.
Yeah. Awesome
but
movie.
Great film, yeah.
And it's like, do you think that Gina Davis dropped the ball purposely just to let her young sister Kit
Without
win?
Without a doubt.
Right? There's Without no way she's dropping that in that crucial
she's
situation.
The best
she
in the
is
league.
Clutch. There's no way. She is like the goddess of that whole league.
Yeah,
there's no way she drops it there.
She definitely dropped the ball to let Kit win. Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. But that's kind of fun to talk about.
Of course. It's more controversial than the Inception ending. Did she drop the ball to let her win? And then just side note, it has the most catchy song in any sports film ever.
Are you going to sing it?
I don't want to do that to the people. Okay. They're already listening to us for like 30 minutes as it is. They don't need to hear me singing the song.
All right. You're right, but it is a good song.
We are the members of...
It's an awesome song. They sing it so many times throughout.
It is. It's kind of like a musical.
It should be a
It's just the same song.
Is there a musical? We could write the musical of A League of Their Own.
The musical?
It would be an off-Broadway hit. Without a doubt.
Actually,
without a doubt,
could be. You know what? Stop the podcast.
We're scrapping
we're
this.
We're focusing on League of Their Own, the musical.
We've got important things to do right now. All right, and finally, let's go with the overall school
movie. The old school movie.
Overall school movie. Mike, take it away.
Again, one of my favorite films of all time, Dazed and Confused. I not only does it really just capture what it's like to be in school, but I feel like it also. I wasn't alive in the 70s, but I feel like it's a very good indication of what it was like to be alive back then. And Linklater, it was one of his first movies, I believe. Great cast. It was the first time I remember ever seeing McConaughey.
McConaughey's hilarious.
McConaughey is amazing in that. He could have never made a movie after Dancing.
And it would have been a fantastic career.
Great acting career. Mr. Ben Affleck is also in that film. There's so many great actors in that movie. And it's just, you know, it's a great feel-good film. It's the last day of school, 1970s.
That seems to be a popular school sort of movie, because I almost picked Superbad, and that's kind of like a last day of school thing, too. Like, it's a really
Wow. All right, I'm going to keep Dazed and Confused.
Oh, man.
I didn't even think. Superbad is also one of my favorite movies.
That is a great but I'm just saying, in general, like, the last day of school is a really cool premise for... you know, school movie.
Also, Can't Hardly Wait.
That's right.
Yeah. Better or Less Dare.
Yeah. You know, it's there's a reason why it's so popular because it works. It's cool, but yeah, Dazed and Confused. Surprisingly, I actually only saw Dazed and Confused for the first time maybe like a year or two ago. I haven't watched it for the longest time.
What do you
think
seeing it as an adult? Because I grew up with this movie.
It's cool. It was good. Okay. It was really good. Just Linklater does a really good job at. With especially with his most recent movies, like he just really dives into the characters and they're like what they think about the time that they're living in and what's gonna happen kind of next type of thing. Like he really takes that into consideration. And on top of that, it's just a nice school movie.
It's a feel good school movie.
There's some great moments, you know. There's some like pretty heavy moments. It's just cool, you know.
Yeah.
It's what it should be. It's what it should be.
Love it.
My pick. Is The Almighty Breakfast Club.
Another great film.
Breakfast Club
great
is...
music. Both these films actually have great music.
They really do.
Yeah. But,
go
on.
So I'm confused.
You
weren't going to pick Pitch Perfect for your favorite school movie?
I wouldn't. If we're going to pick historical dramas...
That would be up there.
It'd be up there.
That would be up there with A League of Their Own.
Yeah.
Women power. yes, Breakfast Club... I mean, if you haven't seen Breakfast Club, I don't know what you're doing with your life. It's just, like...
It's
probably one of the most iconic movies of all time.
That is on TV at least 3 times a week.
That's true. And it's funny, thinking about Breakfast Club, it's a great premise, but it's one so unrealistic, it would never happen. You're never going to have a detention with one kid of every single clique in the school. Like,
yeah.
It's never going to... But for a movie standpoint, it's perfect. It's exactly what you need to do. And, you know, like all school movies, it's a nice coming-of-age type of film where these people from different backgrounds that really, like, kind of like they judge each other with stereotypes, but because they spend time together, they break those stereotypes and they realize, hey, we're all human. We're all the same in some way.
What's your favorite sad moment or the saddest moment for you in Breakfast Club? Because each student has their one.
Yeah, they really
except
do.
For what's her name? I always forget. The girl with the dandruff.
Oh, the weird girl?
The weird girl. She doesn't really have that sad of a moment.
Yeah, hers is like the least sad. I would say Bender, honestly. Yeah?
Bender is...
He's the one with the abusive parents.
Anthony Michael Hall. He brought the gun to school.
Oh, no.
You're talking about, what's his name? Judd Nelson.
I don't know.
Stupid! Good!
I really felt for him, because he was just... I don't know. But
he was such a prick at the same time.
He was.
I felt really bad for Anthony Michael Hall.
Well, because, yeah, because he was the nerd kind of thing, and he was just... Got all that pressure that he was thinking about. He was contemplating suicide and everything. That was tough, yeah.
Yeah.
That was really kind of crazy.
Emilio's sad moment. I mean, whatever.
I'm like, whatever. You're a jock.
You shouldn't have glued his butt cheeks together, Emilio. Like, stop being stupid.
Very true. Yeah. But yeah, Breakfast Club, great movie.
Breakfast Club's a great movie.
Great movie. So how are we doing this now?
We're going to give each other an overall score. And, you know, considering that every movie we've mentioned, we've both said great film... No, I'm going to be a dick. Rob gets a C+.
C+.
I'm a harsh critic.
I'm just above average?
B-.
Oh, now we're talking.
No. I mean, I love every movie Rob just picks, so... I don't know. The idea was to wage war, but we're going to both wind up giving each other good grades.
We're not even going to grade each other.
Yeah.
How about... passing P.
You get a P.
Pass.
P.
P for pass. You passed, Mike. You passed the first semester.
Yes.
School's out, man. Yes. Super bad style.
Yes.
Make out with Emma Stone.
Oh, God. Dream.
Oh, dream come true. Dream
throw Brad in there.
On that note, we're going to call this part done, but stay tuned because we have part two talking about... We're going to be actually talking about some music.
For a change,
please.
We're going to break into music.
Please, yeah.
This is going to get good. I feel like this next bit is going to be really good.
You might only want to listen to this part, because we're going to be listening to some Billboard hits and then judging them based on its first 30 seconds.
And I'm going to say 19 out of the 20 songs we're about to listen to, we don't know.
We have never heard it in our lives. We have no idea. And we probably don't like... The hits on the radio.
But you never know. Right now, you might find your new favorite song. Because we don't know.
You know what? I hope that happens.
I hope so, too.
Okay, so all stay right. Tuned.
And
send us off, Mike.
Here's the button. I don't know what it
just
sounds
press
like,
it.
But...
That might have been the worst button you've ever pressed.
I could have picked literally any other button. It would have been better.
I apologize for Mike's lack of...
It's so going on!
All right, stay tuned. Peace.